chapters 23 and 24. It's a bit of a longer reading, and it comes from an even longer narrative. I think most of you will be familiar with a narrative of Balak and Balaam. In case you're not, a very brief summary. As the Israelites are making their way to the Promised Land, King Balak of Moab is very scared because he knows that the Lord is with these people that are traveling around and almost through his land. And so instead of trying to fight them, because that's what his neighboring kings have done, have tried, and they failed, instead of fighting them with an army, Balak thinks maybe words are more powerful, magical words, words of cursing. And so Balak hires Balaam to pronounce a curse on the people the Lord has blessed. And here we get a battle of the words, battle of truths. And we will see how the word of the Lord, how the Lord himself is the Lord of the truth. So let's read from Numbers 23. And Balaam said to Balak, "Build for me here 7 altars and prepare for me here 7 bulls and 7 rams." Balak did as Balaam had said. And Balak and Balaam offered on each altar a bull and a ram. And Balaam said to Balak, "Stand beside your burnt offering and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he shows me, I will tell you." And he went to a bare height, and God met Balaam. And Balaam said to him, "I've arranged the 7 altars, and I've offered on each altar a bull and a ram." And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, "Return to Balak, and thus shall you speak." And he returned to him, and behold, he and all the princes of Moab were standing beside his burnt offering. And Balaam took up his discourse and said, "From Aram Balak has brought me, the king of Moab from the eastern mountains. Come, curse Jacob for me, and come, denounce Israel. How can I curse whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? For from the top of the crags I see him. From the hills I behold him. Behold, a people dwelling alone and not counting itself among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the upright, and let my end be like his." And Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and behold, you have done nothing but bless them." And he answered and said, "Must I not take care to speak what the Lord puts in my mouth?" And Balak said to him, "Please come with me to another place from which you may see them. You shall see only a fraction of them and shall not see them all. Then curse them for me from there." And he took him to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Balaam said to Balak, "Stand here beside your burnt offering while I meet the Lord over there." And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, "Return to Balak, and thus shall you speak." And he came to him, and behold, he was standing beside his burnt offering and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said to him, "What has the Lord spoken?" And Balaam took up his discourse and said, "Rise, Balak, and hear, give ear to me, O son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. He has said, and will he not do it? Or he has spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Behold, I received the command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot revoke it. He has not beheld misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord their God is with them, and the shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt and is for them like the horns of the wild ox. For there is no enchantment against Jacob, no divination against Israel. Now it shall be said of Jacob and Israel, 'What has God wrought? Behold a people, as a lioness it rises up, and as a lion it lifts itself. It does not lie down until it has devoured the prey and drunk the blood of the slain. And Balak said to Balaam, do not curse them at all, and do not bless them at all. But Balaam answered Balak, did I not tell you all that the Lord says that I must do? And Balak said to Balaam, come now, I will take you to another place. Perhaps it will please God that you may curse them for me from there. So Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor, which overlooks the desert. And Balaam said to Balak, build for me here 7 altars and prepare for me here 7 bulls and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. When Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go, as at other times, to look for omens, but set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel camping, tribe by tribe. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he took up his discourse and said, the oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, the oracle of the man whose eye is opened, the oracle of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, falling down with his eyes uncovered. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your encampments, O Israel, like palm groves that stretch afar, like gardens beside a river, like aloes that the Lord has planted, like cedar trees beside the waters. Water shall flow from his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt, and is for him like the horns of the wild ox. He shall eat up the nations, his adversaries, and he shall break their bones in pieces and pierce them through with his arrows. He crouched, he lay down like a lion and like a lioness. Who will rouse him up? Blessed are those who bless you, and cursed are those who curse you. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies, and behold, you have blessed them these 3 times. Therefore now flee to your own place, I said. I will certainly honor you, but the Lord has held you back from honor. And Balaam said to Balak, did I not tell your messengers whom you sent to me, if Balak should give me his house full of silver and gold, I would not be able to go beyond the word of the Lord to do either good or bad of my own will? What the Lord speaks, that will I speak. And now behold, I am going to my people. Come, I will let you know what this people will do to your people in the latter days. And he took up his discourse and said, the oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, the oracle of the man whose eye is opened, the oracle of him who hears the words of God and knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down with his eyes uncovered. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth. Edom shall be dispossessed. Seir also, his enemies, shall be dispossessed. Israel is doing valiantly, and one from Jacob shall exercise dominion and destroy the survivors of cities. And then he looked on Amalek and took up his discourse and said, Amalek was the first among the nations, but its end is utter destruction. And he looked on the Kenite and took up his discourse and said, enduring is your dwelling place, and your nest is in the rock. Nevertheless, Cain shall be burned when Asher takes you away captive. And he took up his discourse and said, alas, who shall live when God does this? But ships shall come from Kittim and shall afflict Asher and Eber, and he too shall come to utter destruction. Then Balaam rose and went back to his place, and Balak also went his way. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what is truth? Said Pontius Pilate with a sneer. Because he was cynical and had heard too many lies. He had been too long in politics. He had lost faith in purpose in his life. Today there are many people who likewise scoff at the idea of truth beyond some kind of personal conviction, beyond what is true for you. And yet at a profound level, we all know what truth is and that it is a good thing. We all have a natural inkling that it is bad to lie, to be hypocritical, or to promise what we don't mean, or to pretend that we are what we are not. Truth can be defined as that which corresponds to reality. And for sure, we don't always know or understand reality, and we can have a twisted understanding of it. It's not always easy to establish the truth, but the problem lies with us, not with the truth of reality itself. The Christian church confesses that God is truthful, so that what he says is true and reliable. God can be perfectly truthful because he knows reality. And by confessing his truthfulness, we say that the Lord's words and deeds always fit together and that they always correspond to reality. And how different that is from us people, isn't it? Who are often liars and deceivers and pretenders. The Bible brings out God's unique truthfulness in many ways. And today I want to focus on that story of Balaam that we read in Numbers 23 and 24. And especially verse 19 of chapter 23, where it is proclaimed, God is not a human that he should lie, nor a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? So we will speak about the truthfulness of God. First, we'll see that he reveals the truth. Second, that he keeps his word. And third, that he also makes us genuine. So the truthfulness of God. First, he reveals his word. Now, this story of Balaam, it's remarkable. I hope you thought it was remarkable, right? Here we hear the words of the Lord through the mouth of a hostile prophet. Balaam made his living by performing religious rituals for all kinds of people, a priest for hire. But when he enters the realm of the true God, the Lord, the God of Israel, Balaam faces a unique problem because he finds that he can now only speak the truth, the true words that the Lord puts into his mouth. Even if he would like to say the exact opposite, he can't. He becomes the channel for God's message. Now, there are other prophets in the Bible who felt a compulsion to speak God's truth, even if they didn't always like it. But Balaam is an exceptional example. The story in Numbers 23 and 24 is, in a way, a comedy. Here is King Balak, and he makes Balaam jump through all kinds of hoops in an attempt to escape the truth. Many man hours are spent on building altars. Many kilometers are traveled to find even better spots. $10,000s worth of animals are sacrificed. Maybe if we put an altar here on an even higher mountain, maybe if you don't see all the people, maybe then you can curse each time the king is forced to listen to the truth. King Balak would so much like to make his own truth, to make the Israelites cursed instead of blessed, but the truth is what it is. The truth is what is real, and the Lord is in charge of it. And so Balaam says it in this way in Numbers 23, verse 8, "How can I curse those whom God does not curse? How can I denounce those whom the Lord has not denounced?" The story of Balaam and Barak shows that the Lord is not only in charge of the truth, but he also proclaims the truth. Our God is a God who reveals, and what he reveals is always the truth. This revelation of truth is all important in the Bible. Go through the Old Testament and just see how many prophets you encounter, especially from the time of Samuel onward to the century after the Babylonian exile. The Lord provided prophet after prophet. And what are prophets? Those are people that the Lord specially appointed and equipped to tell the truth, the honest to God truth. Prophets had many functions in Israel, but truth-telling was the heart of their work, and that was the criterion by which they were judged. And why is that? It's because the Lord cares about the truth, and He cares about us knowing the truth, and He will make sure that that truth is clearly proclaimed. And then as we follow that line of true prophecy, we now get to the New Testament and see the greatest prophet of all, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior. It was especially Jesus who fulfilled the description that Moses had given of true prophets in Deuteronomy 18. Moses had said this, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. You must listen to him. I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell you everything I command him." And Jesus clearly identified himself in this way, John 14, "These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." Jesus is much more than the prophet. He is the embodiment of God's truth. So that the Gospel of John can say, grace and truth have come through Jesus Christ, and Jesus himself stated, "I am what? I am the way, and the truth, and the life." Now, of this revealed truth from God, the church is the appointed keeper and caretaker. We have an important role to play. And that's what the Bible means in 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. When it calls the church the pillar and foundation of the truth. We have received the truth through the prophets, through the apostles. We recognize the Holy Spirit's authority in the words of these texts. And so we, as the Church of Jesus, take care to preserve these divine words, to publish and to proclaim them, to translate and to study them. Just think about that. That is what we get to do as the Church of Jesus Christ. What a treasure we have. Truth revealed by God through prophets, guided by the Holy Spirit, and especially by Jesus Christ, the Son of God Himself, carefully preserved and passed on in writing throughout the generations. We Christians are often called people of the book because we rely on the Bible as a source of indisputable truth. But we can only make that claim on the basis of God's own perfection and truthfulness. If we could not trust that what He says is actually true, we might as well throw out our Bibles and shut out the words of the prophets. It's an important point to make. We don't believe in God because the Bible tells us so. We believe the Bible because God tells us so. Second point. The Lord is truthful. He keeps His word. So there is truth, and then there is truth. I could tell you many facts that won't make much difference in your life. I have a lot of facts because I used to study math and science. Right? So here's truth. 13 is a prime number. The word asbestos literally means not flammable. Comoca is farther south than Florence, Italy. Those are facts, truths. Interesting truths, perhaps, but not essential for everyday life. There's another kind of truth that matters much more. When I tell my wife I love you, I'd better be telling the truth. When I promise my children I will read you a story, it matters to them that I will keep that promise. Now, our God does not spout useless facts. Throughout the Bible, we hear Him say things that are relevant for us because they affect us. Many biblical prophecies announce in the name of the Lord, "I will do this, I am going to do that," and with such prophetic statements about the future, you cannot tell immediately whether they are true or not, but their truthfulness becomes clear when the prophesied event actually happens. Now, the Lord is the only one who reveals the future and then actually makes it happen consistently without fail. For instance, in Isaiah 48, the Lord points out, "I foretold the former things long ago. My mouth announced them and I made them known. Then suddenly I acted and it came to pass." When the Lord makes a plan and announces it, it will certainly happen. He does not go back on his promises. He does not change his mind. He does not alter his plans because of unforeseen circumstances. See, we people do those things. We are used to people doing such things, sometimes on purpose, more often yet out of necessity. I promised your pastor that I would be here this afternoon at 5 o'clock. I did make it at 5 to 5, but things could have happened, right? And I would inadvertently not have spoken the truth. Prophet Balaam said, he said it this way in verse 19, you see, God is not a human. God is not a human that he should lie, nor a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? And as you saw in this passage for Balak, that was really bad news. In his oracles, Balaam proclaimed that the Israelites would not rest till they had conquered their enemies with God's help. And so it actually happened. The Lord made Balaam prophesy that the Israelites would have a prosperous kingdom. And so it happened. God spoke, and he did it. The Lord has a plan, and he will execute all of it. And he has told us about that plan. He has given us the outline, and we can completely rely on it. His plan is to save people from their sin and misery in the way of faith, and that's precisely what he is doing. His plan is to reveal the kingdom in the world and eventually have it take over the whole earth. And that plan is being executed today as we see the church grow and the gospel spread. And at the heart of God's plan is our Lord Jesus Christ. When we say that Jesus is the truth, we not only mean that he is the prophet who reveals the deeper truth, which he is also the truth maker of all that God has promised. He fulfills the promise that the seed of the woman who would have the victory and crush Satan's head. He fulfills the promise that Abraham's family would become a blessing to the nations. Even in Balaam's old prophecy, the coming of Jesus is proclaimed. Did you hear Jesus in that prophecy? There are a few places where you can almost see him. Balaam actually says, I cannot see him yet. He is still afar, but here he is, the star from Jacob, the scepter from Israel, 24 verse 17. I think that's a clear reference to the future King David and his family, but then also you can draw a line onward to David's great son, our Lord Jesus. The Lord has been true to his promises. His truth prevails. The lion from Judah has conquered the great liar. And the light of his kingdom of truth spreads through this dark world. And this is good news in a world that's full of liars. Many people have been hurt by lies and deception. Maybe some of you have experienced being deceived, being lied to in a terrible way. It can make you suspicious of anything that sounds good. It can make you cynical about promises made. It can completely destroy your trust in any people. The good news is that our Lord does not lie. He does not make empty promises. Our Lord Jesus is not just truthful in what he says. He's also faithful in all that he does. If the Lord we serve is truthful, if the Lord we put our faith in is himself the way and the truth and the life, now what does that mean for us? That's the last point. The Lord is truthful, he makes us genuine. The Bible is clear. As followers of Christ, we should be truth speakers and promise keepers. We should recognize the great importance of this. We should understand that the truth honors our God, but lies and deception dishonors him. So this is an example of a perfection of the Lord that is meant to be reflected in our lives. At our church in Chatham, when I preached this sermon, it was part of a series about God's attributes. I think I brought one of the sermons on God's sovereignty here a while ago. And with each of those attributes, you can say the Lord is this and does this. But now we reflect that attribute in our own creaturely way. Right? The Lord is holy. We are holy, albeit in a different way. The Lord is righteous. We ought to be righteous. The same is here. The Lord is truthful. Well, then let his people be truthful. As Jesus told us, let your yes be yes and your no, no. It is not just about saying true things all the time. Although it would be a good start if you make sure that everything you say is always true. We all have to work hard to ban from our lives the little lies and the lame excuses and the evasive answers, don't we? But it is especially about being true to who we are as God's people. Truthfulness has everything to do with being genuine in our faith, real and practical in our love, and convinced and steady in our hope. God created us for the very purpose of reflecting his image, to show in all aspects of our life how great and beautiful the Lord is. Speaking truth and living truth are at the heart of what we are meant to be. That is our real self, our ultimate design, our highest mandate. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of God's truth, and our calling is to be just like him, to be his mirror and his mirror image. And he has given us his Holy Spirit to guide us, the Holy Spirit, who the Bible calls the Spirit of Truth. Now, this does not come easy to us, and much goes wrong. Even the story of Balak and Balaam shows that. After two chapters of failed attempts at cursing the Israelites, Balaam slinks off and Balak goes home. And you think that's the end of it. The Lord has conquered. Not so. You read on in the book of Numbers. And you find there that Balaam, when he found out that he could not, that he could only speak God's truth, that he could not curse Israel, Balaam still managed to give Balak what he wanted. And that's because the Lord may be true and faithful, but God's people are often weak in their commitment to the Lord. So, just to summarize what comes next in that narrative, Balaam convinced Balak to throw a party and lure the Israelites into that party with false worship. And he did so through entertainment and through sexual enticement. You see, God is faithful, but his people are often so weak and fickle, and that almost came their downfall. There's this passage in Jesus speaking about the last times when he says, there will be many false Christs and false prophets. And maybe you think, okay, but at least I will stand for the truth. That's what Peter said. Lord, they may all leave you, but I will never. The Lord Jesus said that these false teachers would even deceive the elect of God if that were possible. And it's only by God's grace that is not possible. And so when we consider God's truthfulness, when we admire our Lord Jesus as the very truth himself, there is also much occasion for humility, for prayer, and for hard work. Lord, you are true and faithful, but I so often fail. You have kept your word, but I so often speak and live a lie. You are constant in blessing me, but I often forget to pray and do not openly proclaim you to the people around me. So, Lord, make me more like Jesus. Make me true, as he is true. May I genuinely reflect my Savior and honor the name of Christian, not only in word, but also in deed. May the world around me recognize that I'm guided by the Spirit of Truth, so that my commitment to the truth then also points others to Jesus Christ, who is the very truth. Let us pray. Father in heaven, that's indeed our prayer, that you who are the great truth will bring the truth in our lives and that it may shine there. Lord, we pray that it may not just be truth in the abstract sense that shines in our lives, but that it may be practical and personal. Lord, reveal our Lord Jesus Christ in the way we speak, in the way we treat others, in the way we act, so that it may become clear not only to ourselves, but the people around us, that He is indeed the truth. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for all your wonderful promises that give us hope in this dark and unstable world. And we thank you that we may know that your promises are certain, that they are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And so we pray, Lord, keep us close to your truth. All this we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.